Washington, D.C. This is Warbird Radio.
Log on now to FightingColors.com. That's FightingColors.com for more on Gary Velasco and his amazing nose art. That's FightingColors.com.
Hi, I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And we're two of the crew members from Warbird Rescue. Call in Thursday nights at 8 Eastern to join the lively discussion of Warbird restoration. Find out how we can put you in touch with a Warbird project in your area. And be sure to visit us online at warbirdrescue.com.
That's warbirdrescue.com.
And we'll talk to you Thursdays at 8 right here on Warbird Radio.
Now showing on aerocinema.com.
1944. The English Channel is all that stands between a massive land invasion into Hitler's Europe. The Allies are poised and ready to make the crossing, and the Nazis are desperate to repel them. Using new technology and innovative concepts, the Luftwaffe will summon forth a dive bomber unique in looks and abilities. This will be their shield to defend against the flood of ships bound for German territory. A Pair of Hunchbacks, Part 1.
What a kick to be part of Warbird Radio with Big Band Jump, heard several times each week. I'm Don Kennedy, host of BBJ, inviting you to tune in, take off with Warbird Radio.
Live from the land of the free, because of the brave, this is Warbird Radio.
And welcome to the RC Scale Builder Show. I'm your host, Mike Chilson, and dang it, we're glad you could join us tonight here on the live show. Today is March 1st. Man, can you believe this year is flying by? And I want to welcome you to the show. Whether you're listening live or if you're listening to our podcasts on Warbird Radio, we appreciate you taking the time to listen to our show because we do this for you guys. And tonight we're going to have our second annual springtime checkup show. And what I mean by that is each spring in the northern hemisphere here, before we go out and fly, we need to go over our models really well and make sure everything's operational and safe and everything's working well. So what I would like you guys to do is tonight this show's for you, so I'd like you to call in at 478-787-4768, Skype us at Warbird Radio, or email your questions to me at live@rcscalebuilder.com. And I'd like to hear your tips, maybe special things that you do to check out your models each year. And we're going to talk a little bit about a checklist that we came up with last year when we did this show last year. To basically go over your model, and we'll be sure and post that link on the episode guide. But before we get into all that and why you guys are thinking about what you want to talk about, I want to bring our buddy Matt Jolly into the show. How you doing tonight, Matt?
My mouth is full. I'm eating a cookie, but I'm doing great. You would have to talk to me about then. Yeah.
Well, you know, I had a sixth sense that you were eating. So
yeah, having a little dessert this evening.
Yeah, I hear you.
What's up? What are we talking
about? Well, you know, we're talking about we're talking about getting models ready for springtime,
mm-hmm.
for the flying season.
My checklist is lots of fake bake, a good set of shaving razors, and some Photoshop.
There you go.
Yeah. I'm not really into the giant scale when it comes to that, but, you know. So, anyway, yeah.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You see these guys, especially sport flyers, like we talked about. Maybe it was this morning when we were talking about the show tonight. They head out to the field first thing in the spring and ready for that first flight of the year and haven't looked at the plane since last year. They fired up and take off, and next thing you know, it's spinning its way to the ground.
Yep, so. And it's straight to the Waffle House with a bag of tears. Yeah.
That's right.
I know how that goes.
Right. So, you know, something someone told me once that I thought was good advice, good basic advice about this is they say each year you should check your airplane over like it's the first time you're going to fly it. Because, you know, we all spend a lot of time looking over things and double checking everything before we have that maiden flight on our model. So that's some pretty good basic advice, I think.
I think so, too. I think it's a great advice. Do it the first time every year.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, guys, pick up the phone and give us a call. We'd like to hear what you guys do to get ready for the flying season, or shoot us an email. We got one in from our good buddy David Heil. You know, David is just a constant source for humor on the show. So he wanted me to let everybody know that the most important thing he checks over is battery health, and he cycles his batteries and uses a West Mountain radio battery analyzer on them to track the status. And just to show how anal retentive the boy is, he keeps a spreadsheet that gives him a visual graph of battery capacity and each time it's charged. So, yeah. You know,
yeah,
little type A there.
I love that. A spreadsheet.
A spreadsheet. Yeah. And, you know, he sent me this spreadsheet, and I have to admit, it was.
It puts it all out there, and you know, that's cool. Good deal.
Yeah.
So, got a gold star tonight, David.
That's right. You know, and it goes right in line with him organizing his pens and pencils and X-Acto blades on his workbench. Also,
I'm not going to go there.
Yeah. So. And then, of course, on the opposite end of the spectrum, we have our good buddy Mitch Baker, you know.
Poor man.
You know, if these guys aren't going to call in, I'm just going to talk about them. How about that?
I'm just going to eat a cookie. Keep talking. Talk about yourself.
Okay, you do that. Mm-hmm. No, but seriously, folks, we'd love to hear from you tonight. So shoot us an email or give us a call, 478-787-4768. And, you know, a lot of times we're so engrossed in the hobby that – we kind of forget the safety aspect of things, and one of these giant models could really do a lot of damage if it got away from us and hit something. So you want to be extra careful with them, and I think most modelers are pretty diligent about checking things out, but you know, we all need to be reminded from time to time.
You and I were talking about this morning too.
Mm-hmm.
About the damage these things can do and why this is really so important to do. And we joke about it, but this is a very important part of the, you know, part of it. And, of course, if we don't want the regulations to come down from the Friendly Aviation Administration and everybody's favorite RC modeler, Janet Napolitano, we need to be careful about this and you know, keep our act together. So, look, we can say what we want to about a spreadsheet. If you don't want to take it to that level, my goodness, at least check the thing, you know.
That's right.
At least make sure it's still plugged in. So,
yep.
You know?
Yep. And, you know, like we were talking about, one thing I do, one of my little tips that I do that I tell everybody is I just change the batteries each year, period, whether they need them or not.
And then you have to check it, though. I mean, because face it, these things are not made in someone's garage anymore. I mean, we're talking about mass production of these battery packs. Now, it used to be something that, you know, everybody knew a guy who was in the battery pack making business.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And we could trust these things. Today, we can't.
That's right. You need to be cycling them and checking
them
out.
Even if you're new, you got to check them. So
that's right.
That's a tough thing to do, but we got to be vigilant about it.
You know what's interesting about that is there are so many vendors who sell battery packs, and you know, you're absolutely right about that. And I won't mention any names, but I know of several people that have had problems with a particular vendor.
Mm-hmm. There's some real crap on the market. I'll say.
Yeah, there really is.
I mean, you have to be careful. Don't spend, you know, 2 years of your life building something to have it lost on a you know, 5 cent part, as they say.
That's right. Because that's what it boils down to. You know?
Don't save money where, you know, in batteries and all that other stuff. Just man, don't do it. Yep. I had a guy call me up. I'm not going to say any names. His name is Reagan. Call me up the other day and was talking about building. A giant scale airplane. I'm not going to say which one, but it was a you know, Meister scale aircraft that he had acquired. It required an old kit, and was going to put these cheap, I mean horribly cheap, retracts in that we all know about. And I say cheap, not in price, because they're the most expensive, you know, some of the most expensive gear on the market. And I'm not going to say which ones. They're JB welded together. Why would you do that, Mike? Seriously, why would you do that? To such a nice airplane. I don't get it. I don't understand that. And he called up and he's like, hey, what do you think about me doing this and this? And I'm like, I think you're stupid for doing that. You're going to hate those things. And, you know, you might as well put a bad battery in it and let it be over with.
Yeah. You know, that's always a point of discussion with me.
Don't use cheap equipment. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you're going to spend 2 years of your life building this model, don't cheap out on a battery or a switch or whatever.
That's
my
whole point. Yeah.
And I understand people have budgets for their hobby, you know, and, you know, you may just have to wait a little longer to save up for it. But
yeah,
I'm here to tell you, if you have good equipment, the plane will last a long time. And you'll be very happy with it.
You know, something else I'd like to address tonight, and I think this is part of your, this needs to be part of your checklist, is that pilots need to be proficient before they fly these airplanes. There, you know, there are so many guys, and God love them, who let their ego get the best of them, especially this time of year. We have a project that's just ready to come off the bench, and they say, well, by God, I'm going to, if anybody's going to fly it, it's going to be me. Well, you know, look, I'm not saying you're not a great pilot, but, you know, if you haven't flown all winter, and your hands are completely glued together with CA because you've been working on this thing so much, maybe you ought to get somebody to help you check it out. And maybe you ought to get somebody who knows what they're doing to test fly the thing. I mean, just don't rush into this stuff. There's no sense in it. And why risk that, you know, for a bad case of the ego? What do you do to prep for flying again in the spring? Do you practice with something, or what do you do, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, I have a little sport plane I fly with, you know, and I like to stretch my fingers out on that. But, you know, the best thing you can do when you have a new model is let and you have someone in your area that you trust to fly it. Best thing you can do is let them fly it. And I tell you why I say that is because they have no emotional attachment to the model.
Yeah.
And will be able to react a lot better to situations. And, you know, they'll go over it, let them go over it good and look at it. And, you know, just that's kind of what I think. You know, certain planes, after a while, it's not a big deal to maiden them. But, you know, if you really have that masterpiece and you have a good, competent pilot like, you know, Dino or someone like that in your area, you know, run them down and see if they'll help you, because they usually will.
I just got a nasty email from Reagan here. All right, I'm buying the Robarts. Way to go. Way to go. Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get that. But anyway, good stuff there, Mike. Good stuff. And I think that's important, too, to remember, is to become proficient. Go up and practice things with an aircraft that's similar to it. You know, we live in the day of computer radios. I mean, you can take an airplane that... I'll give you a perfect example of this. Before I flew the B-17, I had flown a few of them, and I went out and I programmed my space. I had that big SIG, you know, third scale spacewalker, and I programmed it to fly like a B-17 would fly, really heavy on the sticks, just to get used to going around and flying. I could turn it off or turn it on, but we live in a day where we have all of these computerized radios that can mimic stuff. So if you have an aircraft that requires flaps, requires landing gear, requires all of these things that you're not used to doing on an approach, simplify the approach and practice it. Even if you don't have the switches hooked up to anything, practice, okay, I'm going to go one notch of flaps. It's a one continuous turn to final. Gear are coming down now. You know, whatever it is, get your mind ready for that airplane.
Well, you know, the funny thing about it, you're absolutely right. I mean, you got to get the flight in your head. And today, with all the simulators on their market, there's no reason why anyone cannot be practicing what they want to fly.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And while that is not a tool to give you 100% confidence, it gets the feel of what you're supposed to be doing. You know, through the flight, and it's amazing though. I mean, those are really incredible. We had a kid. This is no joke. We had a kid come out Saturday for his first flight at our club, and the instructor pilot was there, and he had never touched a model yet, but his dad had bought him a simulator. And he had been flying that simulator for 2 months every night. Yeah. He took the plane off by himself. He flew it around, and the instructor had to help him get lined up. But once he got lined up, he landed the plane himself.
No, that's great. That's great.
I mean, so, you know, these things are valuable because they get you comfortable with the process, you know, and the whole flying at you and the directions and... You know, it's so. Yeah, I mean, you know, practicing is part of it, and getting yourself competent to where you feel comfortable with an airplane is you know, really important. You know, our buddy David Howell was just talking about a perfect example of doing the right thing. He spent a year building this yellow P-47,
which is a nice airplane, by the way.
It's a very nice
beautiful
airplane. Yeah, and he showed up at Warbirds Over Georgia a year before last with it, and let Evan
fly it for him,
and made it for him. Unfortunately, someone flew into the airplane. But
I was there for that. It was a very close formation flight, and took out a canopy. But I mean, Dave got really lucky on that.
Yeah, he really did. But you know, that's a perfect example of you know, letting someone check out the airplane who can fly it and feels good about it. And you know, I mean, he still has his airplane. He's flying it now, and you know, so it's a no-brainer.
You know, the other thing too, I think we find out about this time of year is a lot of guys. There are a lot of nice airplanes out there that could be flown. Mm-hmm. You know, next week, week after next, whenever the building season kind of, you know, starts coming to an end and this, we start thawing out. But and I'm not, I don't think there's anything wrong with this. But there are a lot of airplanes out there that could be flown, and I call it, you know, prolonging the project at this point, because maybe the potential pilot, might be just a little afraid of the airplane.
Yep.
Let's talk about that a little bit. To me, that's not a bad thing. You know,
no, not at all. It makes you sharp, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't fly it. You know, don't fly the airplane if you're at that point. And but don't feel like you're pressured. This is not a race. And
that's right.
There's no reason to fly the air. If you don't feel comfortable flying it yet, you know, just put it aside and wait another day. You're a great builder, and don't feel like you have to rush this thing out just because you've been building it. You know, all winter long, and everybody's doing it. You know, don't do that. So.
Yeah, we got a great comment in from Mike Barbie. Thanks for listening tonight, Mike. By the way, Mike is the president of NASA, by the way, and so it's great to have them on listening to the show. And anyway, he said, first I have to finish the painting on the new plane. He said, but the old ones I use a specific checklist, just as I do my full scale. Batteries should reach certain voltage and stay there. Check the fuel lines and tubings. Check all the servo wires for chafing. And make sure connectors are secured. Check the connections at the receiver. Check the airlines for leaks. Tune up my flying with an old dog. And then it's time to get the Top Gun plane out.
Amen, Mike.
Good advice there, Mike. Thanks for writing that in. But, you know, it's interesting. And a lot of guys, I think, are intimidated and, you know, nervous on that first flight with this model that they spent so much time with. So if you have someone around like Mike or Dino or any of these guys in your area, you know, get with them and ask them to look over your plane and you know, see what you can work out with
and
them.
And the other thing, too, about that is, look, if you haven't flown one of these airplanes before, if you haven't flown a heavy, especially a heavy warbird, you know, the thing might fly great. I mean, it might fly great right out of the box, but the odds are it's going to need a few things here and there. And if you're not familiar with that, you'll never know it's flying poorly. You'll never know it, you know? I knew a guy that had flown an airplane, a Bearcat, for like 3 years, and I had a chance to fly it when it was like, what are you doing, you know? And he goes, well, what do you mean? I said, this thing flies awful. So we landed it, you know, we reset the control throws and everything else, actually rebalance the airplane, which is something a lot of guys overlook sometimes, and got the airplane flying better. And because of that, you know, he's still flying the airplane today. It's a great airplane. I had a question that came in on my side. I don't know if they sent it to you. Is there any special care for wooden props, Matt, that have set over a winter season, or maybe have set for a couple of years? I have one, and I'm afraid it might be out of balance. You know, that's something that has come up a time or two, Mike. And I know from the full-scale side of things, if the prop is not left level, water or moisture can seep in sometimes and cause a prop to get out of balance. What's your experience with that?
Absolutely. I mean, that's one of the things you check each year, you know, is you balance the prop, make sure it's balanced. And, you know, you can spend $20 or $30 on a prop balancer, and, you know, it makes your life incredibly better. And, you know, today's propellers, giant scale propellers, even the smaller ones, you know, once you get out of the little nylon ones and get up into the wood ones, generally those are balanced pretty good, but you always need to check. You know, every year that's something you need to check. And you're absolutely right. Moisture does get into them. And, you know, while they are painted or varnished or covered in polyurethane, they're you know, there are still places where moisture can get in and check those out. So be sure and check your props over good. Part of the checklist we offer there on the Warbird Radio post for the show, if you go to the RC Scale Builder Show section, there's a link to a checklist that actually has you go down through a lot of things on your plane and check them over. Just remember to check this thing over like it's the maiden flight. And, you know, you'll be safe then. Everything will work out just fine.
Yeah, thanks for writing in tonight, Peyton. That's a good question because it's something a lot of guys overlook, especially, and I know, Peyton, I know you fly a lot of World War One stuff, and if this is the airplane I'm thinking of, that's a big prop that he has on a reduction drive. And man, that thing could, it'd be a shame to have to, sand it down and then, you know, rebalance the thing if it really is out of whack like he thinks it is. That's going to be a project because those props are finished so nicely.
Luckily, when they do go out of balance, if they've been balanced before, it's usually not by much. Right. So usually a little shaving, you know, on the backside will get it
tuned
up.
Or just do it like I do and set it beside the heater at night.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. I don't know. Does that even work? Probably doesn't work. But anyway.
But it'll be nice and toasty.
Yeah, it'll be nice and toasty. So there you go.
Oh well, but yeah, that's pretty interesting that he brought that up, and appreciate that question. That was a great question, by the way, folks. You know, once again, the show's for you. I can't believe nobody's calling in. I know our buddy David Hiles listening right now on Skype because he's typing little messages to me. So.
Well, that's nice, huh?
You know, it'd be nice if he would call in and we could really rag him on the air.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Well, it's if you're looking at your clocks right now, just so you know, this is 23 minutes past the hour on Tuesday night. So it's live on the, the 1st of March, Michael?
Can you believe it?
It's still the 29th of February over at this house. According to my wrist. So anyway, yeah, March the 1st. And I got to fix that. But, yeah, speaking of checklists, see, I didn't check my watch this morning. So, anyway, you're doing the same thing now, aren't you? You're checking
your watch. Yeah, I am. I'm checking it now that you've said it. I was like, wait a minute.
Part of the fun.
Well, yeah, that's I can't believe it's already March. Next weekend is Perry, Georgia. The big
is
slot
it really? Next? Yeah, that's
yeah.
right.
This coming weekend.
So
yes.
Our ugly airplane contest is next weekend then.
That's right. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Okay.
Here's what I want you people to do. Anybody that's going to Perry, Georgia this weekend to the swap meet, to the Southeastern Modeler Show, what I'd like you to do is walk around. And, you know, there's some beautiful models there, no doubt. But what we want to do is we want you to find the ugliest airplane you can find.
I mean the dog, the one that you just, yeah, you'll see it when you get there. Too.
Yeah, like my Barbie says, an old dog. But I mean, we mean an old dog.
The dog that still won't hunt. Yeah, that one.
that's right. Absolutely. but we want you to take a picture of it and email it to us on the show next week, and we're gonna give away a T-shirt to whoever we think has the best photo. So if you make it to the Southeastern Modeler Show, be sure and do that. We'd love to see some of those, and I'll be snapping a few pics myself. So we'll have some fun with that next week for sure. But yeah, so that's coming up. I'm looking forward to that. I was just talking to my buddy Jim Weems today about that. We're finalizing some plans about going, and. Looks like we're going to have a good time down there, and our buddy Jerry Bates and Mike Hipple's going to be there, and I know Steve Thomas from Zor Props will be there. You know, I got an interesting email from his wife saying that I ordered some props for them, and he's going to deliver them to me in Perry, and she said, look for the Sprinter and spandex running for the best deals as soon as the doors open.
That'll be him. Then there you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. So, good. Well, it looks like we got a call.
Absolutely.
Well, good evening, caller. You're on there.
Hi there.
Hey, man.
How are you doing tonight, Mike?
Good. How about you?
Hey, not too bad. is this kind of safety questions?
Sure.
Okay, I got a question for Matt.
All right, I'm ready.
What's the proper temperature that a hot dog salad is supposed to be stored at?
Well, I recommend at least 225.
Wow.
Yeah, anything less than that and the bacteria could develop, you know? So, at least 225. And it's best eaten with a helmet on, by the way.
Okay, yeah. Gotta remember that.
A helmet, maybe some shin guards would be nice. So, there you go, David.
So what are you up to tonight?
Let's see here. I got my Warbird radio hat today.
Good.
That is an awesome hat, by the way.
Isn't it?
I like it.
You know, he made me buy one, Dan. Can you believe that?
Oh, man.
That's not what he said. I thought he said he sent it to you. Like, oh, he made you buy it. Well,
yeah, he made me buy it.
Dan, thanks for ordering that.
Hey, no problem. I'm glad you finally kind of merchandised out a little bit. I was waiting for something like that.
Well, you know, we're working hard around here at Hardly Working and doing the radio thing. So, we'll have more stuff coming down the pipe
cool.
for sure. So
great.
Yeah, look for that Warbird radio thong any day now.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
It's in the mail. In the mail.
That's
for sure.
That's like over merchandising, I think.
You think?
Yeah. Well, I guess it depends on who's wearing it.
Yeah. Well, good point. Well, thanks for calling in tonight, buddy. I really appreciate it.
All right. Talk to you later.
We'll see you later. All right. We also just got a email in from our buddy TJ down in Mobile, Alabama. And TJ says, at our club, we've got a couple of fellows who are comfortable or have the experience to fly just about anything, and they're often tasked to ring out a new aircraft. Of course, they give the model a good going over on the ground first, and if all checks out there, they'll take it up. It's always with the understanding that if anything malfunctions or events beyond their control occur, they're not liable.
Yeah.
Which, as it should be. No matter how seasoned you are, it's just a good practice to have someone else made a new bird for you.
Now,
absolutely.
Regardless of what you know about these folks, and I think this is mainly for the new folks, and the old guys will appreciate this too. If you show up and somebody offers to fly the airplane for you under no circumstances, say yes.
Run.
Run. Right.
Pack it back up and go.
Yeah, or just run the other way. And if he has a nice vest on with a lot of patches on it, run the other way too. So. Yeah.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Let's say, y'all, it's just coming in here.
It's a night of email, Mike. That's
I'm telling you. Oh, okay, TJ, I'll email you back about what we're talking about, the T-shirt. But anyway.
All right.
He's like sending questions through the comments.
I love
that's
it.
Fine.
I love it.
We're glad you're listening, for sure. Anyway, so back to what we're talking about. One other thing I wanted to talk about was frequent points of failure that cause you to lose an aircraft.
Mm, okay.
You know, you and I both have enough experience. We know what these are. And I think most of the people listening who have flown more than 2 or 3 years regularly know what they are. But for the benefit of the new people, just some things to think about. Some things I like to do is...
I'm sorry, I just got another email here. But yeah, keep going.
I'm all about setting up dual battery packs and dual switches because it's been my experience those tend to be the two primary points of failure on every airplane I've lost. Okay. From electronic reasons and not from pilot error.
I'm still laughing. I'm sorry. But by the way, you do have a caller holding, Michael. So.
Okay. We'll get to him in a second. Yeah. So that's one thing I like to do is I like to buy a good quality switch and good quality batteries and check them out and make sure they work well and run two switches and two battery packs into the receiver.
Yeah.
That way you always have the power to it. Let's take that caller now. Good evening, caller. You're on the air.
Let's see here. Here they
go. How's everything going?
Good.
Who is this?
This is Charlie Evans, the Kicking Chicken.
Oh, my goodness.
first time tuning in.
Well, I'm glad you're listening tonight, Charlie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I went over your safety checklist now, hanging. I have one comment that happened to me today.
Okay.
It's pretty common sense to check your plane and all that, but I got ready to crank up a new plane, or new engine, I should say, on a Newport 28, and I got my fuel tank out, and I hooked it up and started gassing it up for the first time, and I turned around and looked, and I had gas spewing out everywhere.
Oh, man.
And I guess because I've left it in my plane trailer over the winter or whatever, and it got down pretty cold down here in South Georgia, and I guess the seals or something on this motor. It's a, you know, it's a 12-volt motor I bought from Mac Hodges, and it, you know, the gas is going everywhere right down on top of the battery. Now,
yeah,
it was like a holy smoke, you know.
Charlie, but, Charlie,
that should be added. You know, your field equipment sometimes needs a little check out before the season really gets started. Cause basically, what I wound up doing is tearing it apart and replacing the seal and everything in it. But then, you know, all the fuel lines and everything were hard and all that. So, you know, to start the new season off and everything, you need to, I guess, you know, put that on a checklist.
That's a good point, Charlie. Charlie, I have a question for you. It's Matt Jolly here. How do you practice for the demo with Mac Hodges? Because a lot of folks don't know it, but you're the announcer behind the demonstration. Do you have a routine that you practice getting ready for that as well?
Yeah, just showing up.
Oh, come on now, Charlie.
Hey, it's strictly off the cuff now, hanging, and I enjoy it. Some folks enjoy it. I've had some feedback by a few that didn't, but, you know, it's all in fun, and sometimes I'm a little bit more crazier than others, but,
no,
you know,
not you.
I enjoy it, and, you know, I think the majority of the people get a kick out of it. And
absolutely.
I try to kind of stay one step ahead of Mac when he's flying and such to kind of give anybody an idea that hadn't seen the show what's fixed to happen and everything. And, you know, just kind of a little add to it. But we're fixing, well, in fact, we all going up to help Mac Thursday to get ready for the Perry show or the swap meet you was just talking about. And then I guess in a couple of weeks we'll hit the road and we'll stay on the road until probably, I guess, sometime in July.
Wow.
And then we'll take, I think, August off, and then we hit the road again in September and October. But this year we'll be up in Wisconsin and Warbirds over Delaware, Bombers Field. You know, we're going to make the rounds.
Hey, Charlie, why don't you do
something
for me this weekend? Why don't you take your digital camera with you?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to take Mama's phone with her. She's got a camera.
Okay. Well, I want you to find the ugliest airplane there.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, from past experiences, sometimes that's not hard to do.
Yeah.
I have seen some of them up there. Was ugly.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and we're not just talking about the women either. I mean, the airplanes.
Well, you know what they call a good-looking woman in Perry, don't you?
Yeah, well, one with two teeth, or what is it, Charlie?
A tourist,
there you go.
or something like to that nature.
Charlie,
yeah, it ought to be a good turnout, and the weather has just been fabulous here in South Georgia. I mean, all the Bradford pear trees are all out and bloom, you know, white, you know. Temperature's been up in the mid-80s. It's been great.
Hey, well, look, I really appreciate you calling in tonight, Charlie.
Sure thing, man.
And I hope you listen to the show more often, because you know what? Sometimes we just need some good old entertainment, so you need to call in more often.
Yeah.
Well, I run my wife to the bedroom. She was wondering what I was sitting over here doing, and I kept turning it up louder because she kept turning the TV up. So I had it really blasting. But I enjoyed it. You know, you pick up a lot of good information.
Oh, yeah. We have a great time here, and that's what this show's all about, buddy.
Well, tell,
I hear you,
tell
man.
Mac and Bill and everybody else down there we said hello, Charlie.
Absolutely.
I'll definitely do it. Well, I'll probably see you at Perry then.
Absolutely.
I'll see you there, buddy.
Y'all take care.
Take
see
care.
You, Charlie.
Oh, that's fun, old Charlie called in.
Yeah, what a great guy.
I hope he goes back there and tells his wife it's safe to come out. Or just goes in there and, you know, does something else. So that might be the prescription to save that scenario right there. So
hey, one more thing before we take a commercial.
Yeah, now that we've offended everybody and
yeah, exactly. South Georgia, especially the people of Perry, Georgia.
Yeah,
but
they'll get over it.
Glenn McIntosh emailed in and he brought up a point which is actually on the checklist: is be sure and check out your gas line pickups to the tank. They tend to get hard. The Tigon does, and so you need to check those out and change them out if possible. It's a good tip.
Yeah, hard lines are bad, Mike.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely.
Especially if it lasts too long. We'll be right back.
Live from Washington, D.C., this is Warbird Radio.
Log on now to FightingColors.com. That's FightingColors.com for more on Gary Velasco and his amazing nose art. That's FightingColors.com.
Hi, I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And we're two of the crew members from Warbird Rescue. Call in Thursday nights at 8 Eastern to join the lively discussion of Warbird restoration. Find out how we can put you in touch with a Warbird project in your area. And be sure to visit us online at WarbirdRescue.com.
That's WarbirdRescue.com.
And we'll talk to you Thursdays at 8 right here on Warbird Radio.
Now showing on AeroCinema.com.
1944. The English Channel is all that stands between a massive land invasion into Hitler's Europe. The Allies are poised and ready to make the crossing, and the Nazis are desperate to repel them. Using new technology and innovative concepts, the Luftwaffe will summon forth a dive bomber unique in looks and abilities. This will be their shield to defend against the flood of ships bound for German territory. A Pair of Hunchbacks, Part 1.
What a kick to be part of Warbird Radio with Big Band Jump, heard several times each week. I'm Don Kennedy, host of BBJ, inviting you to tune in, take off with Warbird Radio.
Live from the land of the free, because of the brave, this is Warbird Radio.
And welcome back to the RC Scale Builder Show. I'm your host, Mike Chilson, and we are steering this ship of madness through this hour. My good buddy, Matt Jolly, and myself. Looks like we got a caller holding, so let's pick up the phone and see what's going on. Good evening, caller. You are on the air.
And that's always a frightening proposition, Mike.
You know, you just couldn't leave it alone that I had to bring up your spreadsheet, huh?
Well, you know, I knew when I emailed that to you, I was in trouble. I expected no less.
David, let me just say, David, I think it's a great idea. I really do.
I'm a visual person. I have this thing that gives me graphs and charts and percentages and, you know, if I could just get it to line up square on the monitor, my life would be complete. But and Mike knows what I'm talking about because he's seen pictures of my shop.
Yeah,
Matt, I guarantee you, if you go to his bathroom, the toilet paper is folded in a triangle on the end. How much you make a bet?
Doesn't everybody do that?
Yeah. David, do you keep track of how many times your airplane has flown, how many landings are on it, and all that stuff?
Oh, I do not. I do not. The only thing I track really is my batteries, and I do have a I know you're going to find this hard to believe, but I have a database that has everything I own, but I do that for insurance purposes in case, you know, someone burns the building down or whatever like that. But the only thing I really track is the batteries, because I have found over the years that is the most critical piece. And a couple years ago, I sought advice, and I was told, you know, run dual batteries, dual switches, and all that thing. And I've been doing that for a few years. But the batteries are still the critical component. You're going to lose a $3,000 aircraft for a $40 battery? That doesn't make sense to me.
Amen to that, David. Amen.
That's right.
I look forward to going to lunch with you, David. I really do.
Hey, any time. All you got to do is tell me when, and I'll probably be able to make it.
I'll be out of town tomorrow, but we'll have to meet down at the Hamlet or somewhere down there.
Yeah, no problem.
At any time, so... Yeah, that'd be great fun. But, maybe Mike will join us.
Huh. That's probably doubtful because he won't come north. And every time it snows down there, he calls me up to make sure I'm not in town. But, you know.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
I know.
I've lost my train of thought. You know, you guys got me flustered talking about my spreadsheet. You know, what can I say?
It's all right. I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, it is a good thing. I give you a hard time about it, but that's just because I can.
But you know, I think you should start tracking the number of flights, because I mean that could really go a long way, because if you have the component and say, well, look, you know, it's flown 7 times or whatever it is, then you could get because then we might be able to see some life cycle information on the battery.
Well, yeah, you might be talking trending and that kind of a thing.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
It's just, you know, I was going to do it if I could get it to work on my in the days when we had PDAs. If I could have got it to work on my PDA, but I wasn't smart enough to make that happen. But
I know a guy that can probably figure that out for you. So,
Chilson
could probably make that happen for you. But anyway,
I can see that.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Hey, it was good to hear from Charlie.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that was good.
Matt, do not put these ideas in his head. Wait until he retires.
I'm not poking the bear. Yeah, I'm not poking the bear.
So. Yeah, well, okay, whatever.
All right, David.
Well, gentlemen, thanks for having me on again to at least be able to make sport of me live.
Nope.
It's always much more fun, but honestly, I don't mind that kind of thing because that's just me. But it's helpful.
David, all kidding aside, you need to come down with me to the airplane one day.
Yeah, anytime.
Yeah, I've got to go down tomorrow. You're welcome to come along, but I know you got to work. But
where's it at?
Well, we're way south.
Down
in Orange. Orange County. So
Orange County what?
Yeah, Virginia. So
okay.
Yeah, it's south, but come on down anytime you want to. So
all right.
Hey, Matt, you want to hear something interesting?
Always, Mike.
David, tell us how long you have till retirement.
Oh, 2,457 days.
There you go.
Thanks, David. Good to hear from you.
I'm here for you guys.
Thanks, David. Appreciate it.
Thanks, buddy.
Wow.
Thanks for calling. Oh, yeah. Me. He's a hoot. I like him.
I like that. 2,000 something days. Well,
he's counting down the days for sure.
I think it's great.
One other quick thing I wanted to go over before we move on was on the homepage of rcscalebuilder.com. You guys listen, I wish you would take the time and read the post about the earthquake in Christchurch, New Zealand. There's a link there that will get money directly to the Red Cross, and you know, for what you spend on a couple of bottles of glue, you could really help somebody out down there. They're in desperate need. That town was basically destroyed. And, you know, they could really use our help. And, you know, we have the spare change to do this hobby. So, you know, take a little time and read it and donate a few dollars if you can spare it. So,
you know, I said something about that. We were talking about that this morning. And speaking of modelers and all this kind of stuff, the ultimate and giant scale has to be the 80% and the 70% Spitfires that are being built down there in New Zealand, not far from Christchurch.
Yes.
Ivan and Sandy spoke to them today down at Campbell Aero Classics, and they are doing fine. The shop was not damaged. The leather shop was damaged, but their shop was not damaged. So for those of you who know the Campbells down there, Ivan and Sandy there, they're doing well. I just spoke to them a few hours ago, so they're doing fine.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Glad
yeah, good stuff down there. But I mean, some amazing airplanes that they built. Now, granted, they're giant scale enough that you can get in and go fly, but still some cool stuff that they're working on down there. So
don't forget our buddy up in Auckland who's turning out mosquitoes.
Yeah, absolutely,
right.
Glenn. Yeah, Glenn doing a great job.
Absolutely.
Up there,
so a lot of aviation full scale and modeling going on in New Zealand. We have quite a few members on the side and. So be sure and check that post out on the homepage of RC Scale Builder. It would be a big help. And, of course, you know, we all need help sometimes. So just pay it forward. That's all I'll say about
right.
it.
Right. And Sandy sends her thanks. She did say the first, she said, thank your friends from America who have come down here to help us. She said it has been a tremendous, tremendous help. The pictures that we see on TV, she says, don't do you know, don't even show the full scope of the disaster. She said it's much more horrible than we could really imagine, but they really appreciate the help of all the folks coming down there to help them out. So,
you know, what was amazing about that was their entire infrastructure was tore up.
No, absolutely. But
water, sewage, everything.
You're right. But it's nice to know folks are helping out, and we appreciate
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, lots of teams showed up down there. So do your part and help out those folks. You know, there may come a time when we all need help, and hopefully they'll be there for us. So, Anyway, well, let's move on now to some a little bit lighter things. Let's see what we got here on the program list. Heck, it's time for the Meister Trivia
Question. Oh, I thought you were never going to get to it, Mike.
And of course, this is this trivia question and the prize is sponsored by Meister Scale. Our good buddy Dino DiGiorgio is generous enough to provide the glue, the Zap glue that we give away when we offer the prize up. So here's the way it works. Here's the way it works: is I will read the question, and if you know the answer, give us a call at 478-787-4768. And if you know the answer, we will send you a bottle of Zap CA Medium Glue and a Aerocinema preview DVD.
Right, but include the proper shipping address. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Yes.
All right.
Please
do. I'm ready.
Please do.
I might win it tonight. I'm not going to look at Google. I'm not going to even.
You probably know this one.
I'm not even going to look at the question because I know it has the answer on it. So don't.
You probably know this one. I'm thinking you know this one. Okay, it's really not that hard.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay. Here's our question. What was the American code name for the Japanese Kawanishi N1K2 during World War II? I can't say that. Once again, what was the American code name for the Japanese Kawanishi N1K2 aircraft?
N1K2, okay.
Yeah, if you think you know the answer, give us a call at 478-787-4768. Or Skype us at Warbird Radio. You can send your answer via email, but we would like to hear from you. So pick up the phone and give us a call. And let us know what the answer is.
N1K2,
Mm-hmm.
Man, that'll be an easy one. But
Kawanishi N1K2.
Probably something you've been looking at building, if I had to guess.
Actually, yeah, you're right. Actually, I have a full kit sitting here of it. So, but anyway, so call in, folks, if you think you know the answer to that, and be sure and check out the latest offerings and kits and accessories from Meister Scale at meister-scale.com. While we're waiting for our winner of our trivia question here, let's talk about upcoming events, Matthew.
Okay.
Of course, we've got the Southeastern Modeler Show coming up this weekend, March 4th and 5th in Perry, Georgia.
And the Warbird Radio official RC Scale Builder Ugly Airplane Contest.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So, we want the dog that won't hunt. That's right.
That's right. So. And the big show coming up April 1st through the 3rd in Toledo, Ohio, the Weak Signals RC Expo. I'm sure we'll be seeing our buddy Mike Barbie there. By the way, Mike gives some excellent talk about building model airplanes, giant scale airplanes. Mike's quite the builder, so he always gives a great little seminar on that. So be sure and check that out while you're up there. Also, the 2011 Blue Max event coming up April 15th through the 17th at Fantasy of Flight Museum in Polk City, Florida. That's our good buddies down there. Mike Selesky and golly, I'm having a mind blank now.
You're having a senior moment again, Chilson.
It happens all the time. I know what it is. I didn't make myself a cocktail.
You didn't make yourself a cocktail tonight. That's all. Right. Blame it on that. So there you go.
Okay. All right. Well, of course, Sodbusters Warbird Fly-In April 22nd through the 23rd in Camden, South Carolina. So be sure and check those out. And also, if you want to check out events in your area, be sure and check out myrcevents.com. And
great
lots
site,
of good events there. Yeah. Looks like we've got someone holding. Good evening, caller. You are on the air.
Well, if that's me, it's Alan. How are you?
Hey, Alan. How you doing, buddy?
I don't know. I don't know much about Japanese things, but I've been waiting for the telephone number for the last half an hour or so, but I'm going to guess Kate.
That would be incorrect.
Well, I'm not surprised.
But you're close. You're close.
Okay.
You're close.
All right, just to go back on the test thing, you got a minute?
Absolutely.
Well, one of the things I do is when it's the beginning of the season, I go down the field and I take a long-length clothesline with me. And having checked the batteries and the fuel line first, I take the model and I secure it with the clothesline and secure it somewhere to a fence or a post or something or the other, and I'll run a tank of gas through it. When you've done that, that's a good time to go check all those wires and the connections and everything else, because if something's going to rattle loose, standing it on the ground and running the engine up and down at different revs is almost certainly going to do it. So I found that to be a very useful way of doing it. And I've found all sorts of things floating loose after doing that. Somewhere over the winter, and just things get loose and what have you. So that's my general method of doing that. And then, of course, the other thing, which maybe you mentioned earlier and I missed, is a range check before you fly it again. Very critical.
Absolutely. Very critical. Yep, that's absolutely correct. And that's actually on our checklist. So
okay.
Be sure and check that out if you hadn't seen it yet. It's right there on the episode link on Warbird Radio here. If you go,
no, I have it, but okay. I'll check it tomorrow when it comes up.
Gotcha.
All right, good
gotcha.
Talk to you guys. Good show. Thank you.
Thanks for the guest, Alan.
And, all right.
We'll see you. And we had another guest from TJ in Mobile. He also guessed Kate, and that is incorrect.
Yeah, I will say this. There's a popular machine company that sounds a lot like the name of this airplane, if it's the one I'm thinking of, that happens to make landing gears. Am I right on that?
I don't know.
I'm not? You know what I'm thinking of, then?
Yes, I do.
That's wrong.
No.
That's wrong? Now I have to look. I have to look. What was it? What was it again?
It was a Kawanishi N1K2. What was the American code name for that airplane?
N1K2.
Kawanishi N1K2.
Two. Oh, the N1K2. It's a Seinfeld character.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay. All right. I'm with you now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. It's called the Elaine.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Once again, folks, we're still waiting on a winner. We don't have a winner yet of our trivia questions.
At
so
the
be
end
sure
of the
and
show,
call in.
At the end of the show, you're going to yell Dolores, aren't you?
Yeah.
A little Seinfeld trivia there.
Mulva.
Yeah, Mulva.
Yeah.
God.
Also, speaking of Japanese aircraft, the site this week is the Japanese Aircraft Ship and Historical Data Site.
Say it again.
The Japanese Aircraft Ships and Historical Data
website. One more time? What was the... No.
And I'll post that link up. It has some great information about Japanese aircraft.
What?
Yeah, that too.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And but anyway, all this information will be available on the episode thread in the RC Scale Builder Show forum on rcscalebuilder.com. You know,
it's the last time I'll be asked to do this show.
I enjoy doing this show so much because it just makes me laugh. It really does. We have so much fun.
It's either this or your neighbors. I mean, what are you going to do, Mike?
Let me tell you something. I think one of my neighbors is turning into the cat lady on the Simpsons.
Oh man. God,
I'm afraid I'm going to have to call the city out to pick up some animals because it's springtime, and you know what cats do in the springtime?
Yeah.
And they're doing it right outside my window all night long.
All right.
I think we've got some strays running around, and she's feeding them. So.
Well,
anyway,
hey, it's all fun, Mike. That's right.
There you go. But anyway, so I can't believe we don't have a winner yet.
I've had a few emails, but they've all been incorrect, and I just knew it was the Shinden. Is it correct?
The Shinden Kai was the Japanese name of it.
But that was not the
That's not the American code name.
Not the American code name.
That's right. The Shinden Kai is the. What the Japanese call it.
Thank you, Jane's, sitting here on my desk. So,
yep.
There you go.
But anyway, so I guess if, we're not going to have a winner, then we're just not going to have a winner.
All right.
I hate that. Well, anyway, so we're going to go to Perry this weekend, and I'm going to take lots of pictures, and I'm taking my MP3 recorder with me. And if I run upon any funny conversations, I'll be sure to record it so we can play it back on the show.
Say hello to Norm Deputy for me, will you? And Colonel Joe, I'm sure they'll
absolutely
be there. And
absolutely.
And my good friend Frank. Frank will be there. I really enjoyed living down there, and I miss old Georgia. What a great place. I'll be back there, of course, in October and in late September. Looking forward to coming back home.
So, yeah.
What a fun state. What a fun place to live. So
you know, we have the Southeast is probably one of the best areas in the country for model aviation and for full-scale aviation, mm-hmm, too.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we have such good weather here compared to other parts of the country, and so many good people in this hobby. And so we're really lucky to live where we do and where you did. And
I'll tell you what, Virginia's nice too.
Oh, absolutely.
Nice place.
Oh, there's nice people all over the world, don't get me wrong. But
I don't know about that, Mike. I don't know about that.
don't get me started. You know who I'll start talking about.
I know.
But
thanks, Mike. It was fun hanging out with you tonight. I appreciate.
Yeah, we had a great time.
I'm honored to be here with you. So,
hey, one last thing I would ask all our listeners to be aware of is that my good buddy Jerry Bates finally came into the 21st century and set up Skype on his PC. So next time you see Jerry, if you ever see him, say, hey, I heard that you finally got Skype installed.
Just point at him and say, hey, that's Jerry Bates.
That's right.
That's
Jerry
Bates.
It's Jerry Bates.
There you go.
But John Mackey and I have been on him for like the last year to install it. And, you know, this is the same person who had a rotary dial phone until the phone company made him get rid of it. So.
All right.
So be sure and give him a hard time about that. Yeah. He deserves it. Yeah, well, look, thanks, everyone, for listening tonight. We had a great show, and I'll be posting a link to the if you haven't got it already, I'll post a link to the seasonal model checklist, and you can download that and do with it what you want. Pass it to your club members. It's out there for everybody to enjoy and use. And if you'd like to add more to it, write me back and we'll add it. But anyway, stick around for more great programming here on Warbird Radio, and be sure and join us next week when we will have a guest on the show and another great interview and lots of great segments in RC Scale. Thanks for listening, guys, and if you're going to be in Paris and you see me, stop me and say hello. And until next time, be sure and measure twice and cut once. Good night.